All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts, chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to turn to a second passage of Scripture, and I want to read just a couple verses there, and we're going to refer to it a little bit later on in the message, so keep that handy. Put a marker in it or something so you can flip over to it real quickly. But let me read the passage in Acts first, and then we'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you remember from last Sunday morning, we looked at the fact that they sold their possessions. Nobody forced them to do that. They did it willingly. They did it of their own volition. There was not commanded that it be done. Nobody said, if you don't do this, you're not spiritual. That was, none of that ever entered into it. They just did it. And they brought the proceeds and they laid them at the feet of the apostles. Well, in the fifth chapter, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost." In other words, he died. "And great fear came on all them that heard these things." Notice that. "And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband." Now look at verse 11. "And great fear came upon," what's the next word? "All the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Now hold your place here, and we're going to just go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment. And I want you to mark this spot with a bulletin or with your husband's elbow or something. Just mark it so you can flip over there to it real quickly. And I want to read chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. I want to read verse 17 and 18. And Paul here, as Paul is so apt to do, gives us a passage of Scripture here that will put a little light on what I want to emphasize out of Acts chapter 5 tonight. Look at verse 17. Paul says here, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, you hang on to these verses. Now, we're going to come back to them in just a few minutes. But I need to take you over to Acts 5 now. And I'm going to speak to you tonight on this subject. What have we forgotten? What have we forgotten? And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the many lessons that you've taught us as we have been preaching out of the book of Acts. And Lord, as we look at this benchmark for the church, as we look at the early church, and Father, as we see how you worked in that church and how they yielded themselves, Lord, it thrills our souls. And it helps us, Lord, to have a better understanding of what the church is supposed to be and how it's supposed to act. And Lord, we thank you for what we've learned. And now here we come to the fifth chapter, and after everything is just going so wonderfully well, people are being saved, and there's a great influence that is given, and the power of God is there, and they have liberty to preach and to just impact the world with the gospel. Here comes the devil stirring it up, and here comes Ananias and Sapphira. And Lord, thank you for putting this passage of Scripture in here and showing us, Lord, the things that are here. And I pray that you will bless us tonight. And Lord, as we look at this little thought that I have tonight, I pray that you will empower from on high. Lord, I pray that you will bless it. Give us spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Lord, help me tonight as I speak. I want to be a blessing. I want you to use me, and I just pray that you will do that tonight. Lord, may we leave here tonight rejoicing at what we have learned, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, you remember that last Sunday morning I pointed out to you that the thing that makes the church different from every other organization in the world is the presence of God in the church. That's what makes us different from the Elks or the Kiwanis or the Civitans or any other organization, is the presence of God in the church. And the presence of, the way I worded it last week, and I want to use that wording again tonight, the presence of the unseen reality of God is what makes the church different from all the other organizations that are found in our society. Now, I believe with all my heart, that if we were to get a hold of this truth that I have for you this evening, I believe that it would absolutely change our lives. You know, I think far too many people come to church more or less out of a sense of duty or a sense of obligation, or they just come simply out of routine, and we do not stop to consider that God is here with us. All right, now I want to talk to you tonight about what we have forgotten, and I think we've forgotten that idea. We have forgotten that when we gather together, we have a promise that was given to us by our precious Savior himself, and that promise is that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst thereof. And so the Apostle Paul gives us here in this passage in 2 Corinthians, he gives us a little insight to this point, and says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And folks, I think that this is something that the church today has forgotten about. I know the world has forgotten this. There's no doubt about it in my mind. The world has forgotten this truth. The world has forgotten God long, long ago. If the world ever understood it, and I think they did, Romans chapter 1 says that there was a time when the world, when the people in the world knew God, but over time they forgot him. So the world has forgotten this truth today. I mean, the world lives as if there is no God. The world lives, they do their own thing, they don't care what the Bible says, don't care about God, don't care about what truth is, they just care about what they want to do, and the world does what it wants to do, and so it's hard for us, it's hard for me, I know it's probably hard for you, I so strongly believe in the Lord, and I so strongly believe in the Bible, it's difficult for me to comprehend how people can be so adamantly against God and His truth. I don't understand that. They just do their own thing as if there was no God, and they violate His word and just act like God doesn't exist. And, you know, but when you think about it, you'd expect the world to behave that way. Now, what I want to share with you tonight and what I want to point out to you is something that is even more sad than the fact that the world lives without God, and that is that there are churches that are filled with people who have forgotten the unseen.
We have forgotten the unseen. And what have we forgotten? We have forgotten that when we gather here to worship, the unseen God is here with us. And it is on that subject, from this passage of Scripture, I want to draw some conclusions with you tonight. So let's look at it. This generation has forgotten the unseen. Now you think about it, folks. Go back to your story. Here's Ananias and Sapphira. And surely they had seen the evidence of the presence of God, the presence of the unseen. I have no doubt. Folks, think about it. Would they not have been in this building praying with the others when Peter and John came back after being released and they met with the church and got on their knees and prayed for more opportunity? Would Ananias and Sapphira not have been with them? I mean, you can assume that they were. I'm sure that they were. It does not say. I cannot dogmatically tell you that without a shadow of doubt, Ananias and Sapphira were there. But folks, it says that they met with the church and Ananias and Sapphira were a part of the church. I would presume that they were there. Hey, there were 120 in the upper room. 120. We have the names of only a few that were in there. That leaves a whole lot of people that were in that upper room that were unaccounted for. Could Ananias have been in the upper room? Of course they could have. I mean, what I'm saying to you folks is that I dare say Ananias and Sapphira had seen the unseen. I'm sure that they had witnessed and evidenced God working and moving and doing the things that are recorded for us that could only have been done by God. Would they not have been in the number of the disciples who went to pray with Peter and John when they healed that man who was crippled from birth for 40 years? In all probability, they would have been. And now, think about it, here they are coming into church in the fifth chapter, ready and willing to just lie and to make it all about them and failing to realize that the unseen God is there. I dare say, had they not lost sight of the unseen, they would not have so brazenly come in and so easily lied to the apostles and to the Holy Spirit. And folks, I think that this is where we are today. We have forgotten the unseen. Now, when you think about it, it's pretty easy to understand how today we could forget the unseen. I mean, we live in the most materialistic society we have today, materialism like none other. This is the age of materialism. There is more affluence in our world today than has ever been in the history of mankind. The truth is, America and Americans have never had it so good. This is the age of prosperity. This is the age of machinery. This is the age of gadgets and gizmos. Yesterday at the picnic, somebody said, the weather's coming in. I saw it on my cell phone. Isn't that amazing? You can take your cell phone and get the radar to see what the weather's going to do. I mean, we live in such an amazing age, the age of gadgets and gizmos, the age of comfort and amenities. This is an age of science and discovery, and with that comes insistence upon the visible, upon the tangible, upon that which can be measured. And so what has happened, listen to me now, what has happened in our society today is that science has become a philosophy, and it tells us that there is nothing apart from what can be seen and what can be measured and what can be touched and what can be handled. In other words, the unseen is not considered in our world today. Only what can be seen and only what can be handled and only what can be measured. Now, What causes that? I'll tell you what causes that. When you rule God out of society and you make man the measurement whereby everything is measured. In other words, man has become the measure of everything. Everything is seen and understood in terms of what can be known, what can be touched, what can be discovered, what can be explained. Here's the reason. Here's the rationale. They'll say, if I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it. If I can't touch it, then I'm not going to believe it. And thus, folks, we today live in a world that has forgotten the unseen. We live in a world that has forgotten the supernatural. But please, folks, realize that the unseen is all important. Now, take your Bible and look at that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, and let me show you just how important the unseen is. Let me share with you what Paul says about the unseen. In verse 17, he makes this point. He said, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now watch this. "While we look not at the things which are seen." In other words, folks, we're not to put our focus on that which is seen. Our focus is not to be nailed down here. We are not to be so consumed with what our physical eyes can see. But that's where we are today. I mean, we are just earthbound. We don't stop and realize that there are things which are unseen and that's where we need to focus. Look at what he said. "But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, folks, think about this. Look at me for a minute. Look here. I want you to realize I'm temporal. I'm temporal. I want you to look at that piano over there. That piano is temporal. It's a thing that you can see. I want to serve notice on you. You are temporal. Yes, that's right. I want to serve notice on you that house you live in, this building you're sitting in, all of it is temporal. Your house, your car, your boat, everything that you can see with your physical eyes is temporal. It is the unseen that is real and is absolute. It is the unseen that is going to last forever. Therefore, would it not make sense for you and for me to put our focus on God, which is eternal, and not get so wrapped up with life here and what can I get and what am I going to have and what are you going to do for me, and just get the focus off of us and put it where it belongs? And that's what Ananias and Sapphira did. They wanted the focus to be upon them. They came into the church and they said, "Look what we have done." And when the focus got upon them, God said, "No, wait a minute. The focus is in the wrong place. You got to put your eyes on me." Folks, the world, this world is the appearance, but the unseen world is the great reality. And the unseen, oh, how we've lost this. Oh, listen, the unseen controls the seen. We've lost that today. We've lost that today. I mean, I'm amazed at how we've lost this concept. We think that things are just naturally flowing along and all that happens just happens. No, it does not. There is a God. I mean, think about it. The ancients would sit around and they would draw up their philosophies and they came up with explanations for the unseen without giving God the credit, and they developed concepts like fate. You understand that? Oh, they didn't give God credit for doing anything. Well, it's just fate. Kismet. A chance. Oh boy, you sure have had a run of bad luck. I got a Hebrew word for that, baloney. Folks, listen, there's a God. And we need to realize that there's a God. And we've lost that concept today. And the message of the Bible is the all importance of the unseen reality that controls our lives. Fate? No. Kismet? No. Chance? No. A run of bad luck? No. Dear friend, may I remind you that when you open this Bible to the very first verse, to the very first book, and you turn and say, wow, what's the Bible have to say? You are confronted with a real truth about a real God, and it says, in the beginning, God. Not fate, not chance, not kismet. No, sir. Listen to me, folks. There is a God in heaven. And that God never looks over the battlements of heaven and goes, wow, looky there. That God never looks over the battlements of heaven and goes, whoops. Never. He's God. And we need to wake up, folks, to the reality of the unseen and realize that, hey, it's not about me. It's not about these guys. It's not about you. It's about an unseen God who is in control of the entire universe, who with this very word spoke this universe into existence. And boy, we've lost that concept today. Now, let me show you this from the Scriptures. The reality of the unseen is clearly taught in the Scriptures. I mean, listen, folks, you start here in the beginning and you start reading it. The reality of the unseen is clearly revealed in the Word of God. When you read the Bible, it becomes clear that the unseen hand of God is at work from beginning to end. Throughout all of history of the Old Testament, through all the prophecy, the unseen hand of God is shown controlling the events to accomplish God's purposes. Think about the prophets for a minute. I mean, just think about those prophets. Here these men are foretelling the coming of the Son of God with detailed accuracy. Was that kismet? No, sir. Was that chance? Not on your life. No, sir. That was the work of the unseen. These men had to have been in touch with the unseen, with the eternal. They had to have been in touch with the true. They had to have been in touch with the everlasting. Just think of this in the light of our Savior coming into this world. Think about Jesus coming into this world. What did Jesus coming, or what did Christ coming signify? What did it signify? I'll tell you what it signified. It was the breaking of the eternal into time. It was the unseen becoming the seen. It was the invisible becoming visible. As John put it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is God becoming flesh. And the unseen God became the seen, but yet He was still God. That's the amazing thing about it. I mean, He was still God. We see it in His birth. We see it in His miraculous power. We see it in His ability to raise the dead, to heal the sick. In Jesus, we see the unseen becoming the seen. Take your Bible and go over to Luke chapter 11 for just a minute. Let me show you. I read this the other day and added it to the sermon. Luke 11. Very familiar verses. Let's begin in verse 14. I'll wait on you. Got it? I still hear pages turning. Got it? Okay, let's look at verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Do you see that? And the people wondered. I mean, think about it. Here's a guy who's demon-possessed. He can't speak. That's what it means. He's dumb. He can't speak. And the Lord cast this demon out of this man. They all are watching. They all see it. And when they saw it, they were amazed. They wondered. Look at verse 15. Now here, this is us. This is man. This is, oh my soul. Some of them said, Well, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Watch now, watch, verse 20, watch it. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Hey, folks, the people said, oh, he's casting out demons in the power of the devil, in the power of Satan. And Jesus refuted the argument and he said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils. You see, the people were amazed that they had seen such strange things. They knew, listen to me now, they knew that what was happening, what they were witnessing here in this passage of Scripture, they knew that it was being done by the unseen. But they attributed this great work that was being done as having been done by the devil, and the Lord made them to understand that this was not the devil's work, but that this was the very finger of God. The point is, folks, they were aware of the supernatural. They were aware of the eternal. They were aware of the finger of God. The question is today, why aren't we? Why aren't we? Hey, folks, you know, if we get a hold of this concept, it just might change the attitude that we have when we walk in here and sit down. If we had, if we were aware of this, if we would not forget this, it just might impact the way we listen when this choir is singing. You know, instead of sitting there with a critical spirit, we just might be sitting there saying, oh, Lord, you're here. I know you're here. Now speak to my heart. Lord, plow a furrow in my heart so that when the seed is sown, it'll grow and bring forth something good. See what I'm saying? And it is this working of the eternal unseen that we are reading about here in Acts chapter 5. Folks, how else could Peter have known what was going on here? Huh? Had to be the work of the unseen. It had to be that the Lord revealed this to the apostle. How else could he have known what was happening? He knew because the unseen world runs the seen world. It is God who told him. Man, I cannot tell you in 32 years how many people have come up to me and they've said, you've been reading my mail? You got my house bugged, don't you? No, I don't, but I'm in constant contact with somebody who does. And he leads and he guides and he helps me. And that's what it's all about, folks. I mean the unseen. This is the work of the unseen. And folks, that's what makes the church different from every other organization. But you know, we have forgotten the unseen today, and we only think in terms of the seen. We only think in terms of me, mine. What are you going to do for me? How are you going to entertain me? Pastor, when are we going to have contemporary music in our church? Let me tell you something. When you read in the newspaper that hell has frozen over, that's when contemporary music will come into this church, as long as I'm the pastor here. Now, y'all vote me out if you want. Get some neo-evangelical in here and let him have his way and let you have your way. But, brethren, bless your little heart. As long as I'm the pastor here, we will not use any other Bible and we will not have contemporary music. Case closed. And if you say, well, you're the only church in Carroll County that doesn't have it. Amen. And I'm glad we are. And you know, I mean, what are you going to do for me? Folks, listen, how dare you preach to me? Oh, wait a minute. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Am I reading this wrong? I mean, I thought that that's what it was all about. I think I'll just go find me another church. Me, 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 me. You sound like you're warming up for the choir. But that's where we are today, is it not? That's our mentality. What are you going to do for me? Hey, folks, listen, here's a new concept. I mean, stop the presses. I got an idea here. Why don't we come and say, God, what can I do for you? Amen. Why don't you just, shock me to death and say, Pastor, what can I do for the Lord in the church? Not sit here and say, okay, well, you're going to entertain me. I mean, we've had people, visitors, come through and we'll say, hey, good to see you. How are you? Shake their hand and say, do you live in the area? Yeah. We've been shopping around for a church. Shopping around? What does that mean? And I have just in the last couple of months, I've asked people, what's that mean? Shopping around. Oh, well, we're going around to different churches and see what they offer. I said, well, what do you think about what we offer? Hey, you talk to them after the service, you know. What do you think about what we offer? And, you know, here's what it is. I laid it out for a purpose and then forgot it. They'll take this thing right here and they'll say, well, you know, you all sure do have a lot of programs. Yeah, we do. You have stuff for the kids, and you have stuff for the teenagers, and you have stuff for the adults, and you have that Super 60s thing, and boy, you guys sure do have an awful lot, and you have services on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Yes, we do. I mean, yes, we do. You have that big old choir, and you have that orchestra. Boy, you guys sure do have an awful lot, but you know, I just don't think this is the church for us. Oh, really? Why? Well, we like the contemporary stuff. No, it's not what are we going to do for you. Folks, if you're looking for what we're going to do for you, you are never going to be happy around here. You will never be happy around here. Because I want to serve notice on you, we're not built on that foundation. We are built on the foundation of, hey, there's an altar up here. Get your heart right with God and do something for God. And if you don't, you're going to be miserable while the Holy Spirit of God's pulling and tugging at your heart. Amen. And so, Ananias and Sapphira had to learn the hard way that it's not about us. The early church learned that there's an unseen God who is very real and very much present. And may I remind you once again that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Look at that 11th verse. Man, after this thing happened, great fear in chapter 5, Acts 5, 11. Great fear came upon all the church. Man, I'd like to see some fear fall upon us. I'd like to see some fear fall upon us. I'm telling you, folks, God would, I'd just love to see it one time. I'd like to see God just shake everything up. See this little thing right here? Y'all don't get these, but we do. This is our order of service. You know what I'd like to see God do? I'd like to see God come down here and say, we're going to change that. I'm going to run the program tonight. Oh, I know you picked out the songs, but how about let's sing them what I want you to sing? Oh, I know that you had this and you had that, but let's just do what I want tonight. You say, well, Pastor, I just God would never do something like this, like what happened here in Acts chapter 5 in the world today. God would never do something like that today. Really? Are you sure about that? I tell you, I've seen with my own eyes some things that instantly made me think, whoa, the unseen just showed up. I went to get a prescription filled this week, and my pharmacist come running out. He said, I got to tell you this, I got to tell you this. I said, what? He said, I had a friend, guy come in here for some prescriptions a while ago, and he said, he told me a story. He said, there was a man that had a motorcycle wreck, And he was hit with a car, and it threw him through the air, and a middle-aged guy, and he fell on the ground, and then by the time people stopped and got over to him, he was having a heart attack, and his heart had quit. He wasn't breathing. And he was so excited. I mean, he's just, you know, he's bouncing. He's so excited. And there's customers standing around, other pharmacy workers. And, man, he's just telling the story. And preacher, guess what? And I was, I don't know. He said, the guy two cars behind the car that hit him pulled over. Guy comes running over and says, oh, this man's not breathing. Runs back to his car, opens his trunk, and he's got a defibrillator in his trunk. Said he came running over, hooked it up, put the paddles in, shocked the guy, and poop, he started breathing again. And by a little while later, a EMT showed up, and the guy's breathing, everything's fine, he's still banged up, but everything, his heart's working. And they looked around and said, well, where's the guy that had the defibrillator? And he was gone. And the pharmacist said, preacher, what do you think about that? And I said, well, you know, sounds to me like the unseen showed up. Amen. Amen. I mean, just sounds to me like God was in control. I mean, listen, folks. You say, well, boy, that sure was a coincidence. Really? You think that was fate? Do you think that was coincidence? Do you think that was kismet? I mean, you don't think that the unseen knew that this man was going to have a wreck? Do you not think that the unseen knew this man was going to have a heart attack? Do you not think that the unseen knew that the man two cars behind him would have a defibrillator machine in his car? I mean, folks, listen, there's a God in heaven, and we need to get back to realizing that and recognizing that and quit making excuses for things that happen to us as a run of bad luck. No, sir, there's a God in heaven, and that God wants you to serve him. I mean, I hear about folks all the time get outside the will of God, and all of a sudden the chastening hand of God reaches down and the spankings begin. And what makes it so sad is that in most cases, the one that is out of the will of God and the one who is getting pummeled by the hand of God cannot see what's going on, and they simply want to chalk it up to fate. That's true. And my friends, I'm here tonight to tell you that we have forgotten the unseen. We have forgotten that we're in God's hands. We have forgotten that God is God. And just like Ananias and Sapphira, we have forgotten that this thing is not about us, but it's about the Lord and His glorious gospel. I could tell you, I could stand up here for the rest of until midnight and tell you story after story. I could tell you about people that have been in the church. I could tell you about people that got a little burr under their saddle. I could tell you about people that didn't like this or didn't like that, and all of a sudden God's leading them to go somewhere else. Baloney. I'm speaking a lot of Hebrew tonight. And God's leading me to go somewhere else. Oh, no, He's not. You're leading yourself. I don't believe that for a minute. Oh, well, we prayed about it. Yeah, I know you did. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that stuff. Folks, you got a church that believes the Bible. You got a church that has a soul-winning program. You got a church that loves the Lord. You got a church that's reaching and cares about people. You're going to tell me that God's going to uproot you from that and send you to some place that's got contemporary music that uses a wacky Bible? Come on. Come on. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You say, I can't believe you said that. Then take it by faith. I said it. I believe it with all my heart. And the reason, folks, that I think we can just do whatever we want to do is because we have lost sight of the unseen. We have forgotten that we're in God's hands. We have forgotten, just like Ananias and Sapphira, that this is about the Lord. You know, One more little thought here and I'll be done. No one saw all that happened here and then wondered, you know, Ananias and Sapphira sure have had a lot of bad luck lately. I, That's how we would have done it. Boy, you know when that's the fire, boy. Things haven't been going too good for them. Must be fate. No, my friends, there's a God. There's a God. And boy, we need to get back to realizing that, folks. I mean, we need to get back to realizing. Nobody would have said, you know, poor guy. Poor old, bless his heart. No, everybody knew that the great unseen had showed up. Everybody knew it. That's why it says in verse 11, and great fear came upon all. What were they afraid of? The words fear, not but fear, respect. What were they fearing? God. God, the unseen. That's who they were fearing. I mean, that same great unseen is the same God we serve today. The same God that struck Ananias and Sapphira dead is the same God that's watching all of us with an eye that does not blink. And I think if we fully grasped that truth and understood it, our God conscious level might turn up a few notches tonight. And we just might be a little more comfortable on our faces at the altar than we are sitting back in a pew with an I don't care attitude. And that's what I think we need to stop and consider tonight. You know, I'm amazed. Please, don't get upset with me here. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm amazed that I can sit up here and I can watch. And I can watch. Now, thank God it's rare. But I can watch during the singing. And I can watch. Boy, people are right there with it. Amen. Yes, amen. And then I'll get up here and I'll say, open your Bible. And it's like, tune out. Not listening to that. I've noticed it. I've noticed it. And it's not just here. I've noticed it around the country. I'll go to somebody's church and preach. And man, during the singing, amen, amen, amen. Open your Bibles and it's... I mean, it's like there's a switch that's flipped somewhere. It's like... I'm not going to listen to that. And brethren, I'm here tonight to tell you it's a sad condition when we have this attitude. And I'm just here tonight to remind you that we need to pay attention to the unseen. What have we forgotten? We have forgotten God. You know, I think that that's a forgotten concept in our churches. I really do. If we realize that every time we get together and sing and pray that the Lord is in the midst and we are representing God as the church of Jesus Christ, we would not come in here with a bitterness in our hearts. We would not come in here with an attitude. We would not come in here angry. Jesus said, if you've got a problem with your brother, go get your brother, go to the altar and get it fixed, and then put your offering in. Man, I've been in churches where they sat on this side and they sat on this side, never shall the twain meet. Man, I've been in church. I mean, I've pastored churches where they sit and glare over across the aisle at one another and dare the other person to make eye contact. Right. Yep. I've had them come in and say, Pastor, I'm going to resign my Sunday school class. Oh, yeah, why? Well, so-and-so is in the class right beside of mine, and every Sunday morning I have to say hi to them. And you know, we don't get along. Really? I did not know that. And nobody else in the county knew that. Is that any way for God's people to behave? No. And folks, here we are now. We've lost that concept. Listen, if you understood that God, the unseen, has promised to meet with us. He's promised to be here. He's promised to pour out His blessing. And if we would just get that thought back in our heads again, it would change how our hearts are when we walk in this building. Amen. May God help us. Amen. This is what's missing today. Yeah. What have we forgotten? Same thing Ananias and Sapphira forgot. We've forgotten the unseen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word. Oh my, bless it to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will give us a great
understanding of what we've heard tonight. Lord, may the power of God speak to our hearts tonight and show us, Lord, the urgency of the need for us to recognize the Lord. Lord, I pray that you will have freedom to just touch our hearts. Lord, we need revival. And I believe that the reason that we're in such dearth in our country today is because we have forgotten our great unseen God. Lord, help us to realize that everything that our eyes behold is temporal. Lord, what's eternal is what's unseen. Thou art eternal. And Lord, that's why Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we just need to keep our eyes upon you. And I pray that you'll break our hearts tonight. Lord, convict us. And Lord, I pray that we'll see a real moving of the Spirit of God in our hearts this evening. Lord, draw us to yourself. Lord, help us to get the focus off of us and to be humbled and to say, Lord, what can you do? What can I do for you? Lord, how can I serve you better? Lord, how can I be a better Christian? How can I be a better witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, Lord, do a work in our hearts tonight. Speak to every person. Lord, speak to the teenagers. Speak to the moms and dads. Speak to our fathers. Lord, I pray that you'll just do a work tonight in our hearts. Lord, if there's even one soul here tonight that's not saved, may this be the night that they come and put their faith in Christ. Lord, help folks to come and join the church tonight. Lord, lay it upon somebody's heart tonight. Join the fellowship of the church and get busy. Lord, just help us to get out of the way and let you be God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.